In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. I don't know if this is a thing this year, or I'm simply late to the party. I've noticed as I've gotten older, I'm later and later to popular occurrences and knowing what's going on in popular culture. But apparently the whole month of October has now been declared a spooky season. I don't know when this happened or why it's become so overused. It's certainly true that most of us recognize for some time that Halloween has been a season in which people go to haunted houses or watch scary movies. And some people simply identify this as a time that it's fun to be scared, at least in these ways. But if you think about it, and you think about fear and the kinds of fears that we have, there are different kinds of fears. And Halloween fears, for the most part, are not based in reality. This kind of fear may be fun simply because we know it's not real. When the fear is based on something real, the fun goes away real quick, doesn't it? And certainly Halloween pranks that have happened that pretend a loved one has died or do something else that's horrific, it's not funny. It's simply cruel. The gospel passage today contains a fearful story with many fearful elements. There is this fearful man that we identify as Legion based on the demons within him. There is the disciples themselves who lived through their own fearful experiences. There's the townspeople who certainly had their own fears. They all have different experiences of fear and fear over different things. As we hear this frightful story today, I think we should ask ourselves a question, which is, what do we fear? What's the basis of what we fear? And do we fear the right thing? When we consider the details of this man's life, it is frightful indeed. The demonic influence upon this man was staggering. He was unable to function in his right mind. Can you imagine such a man in our neighborhood today walking around the neighborhood? It was a problem for the residents, so they took action. The man was bound in chains and fetters and kept under guard. But the problem was, it wasn't going to work. In fact, it was a drastic underestimation of the power that was beneath the surface of this man. He broke free from the bonds. He was driven by the demon into the wilderness, and eventually he settled among the tombs, the graveyard. He lived without clothing. His life was truly a tragic story. He was unable to change or make his own choices. His life was not his own. And he was scary. He was unpredictable. He was unsafe. And the result was everyone kept their distance from him. No one had the power to help him. No one could come up with a plan to help this man. I think we also have to understand the disciples' perspective on this event. And to help us fully understand that, we have to back up a little bit and consider what happened right before this passage starts. Just before this, as the disciples were sailing across the sea, Jesus fell asleep in the boat. And a great storm arose, and the boat started taking on water. And these experienced fishermen who went out on this lake probably daily, they were afraid. They were afraid for their lives. They awoke Jesus, and Jesus immediately arose and rebuked the wind and the waves, and the sea grew calm. And Christ questioned them about their lack of faith. But then as they continued to sail across the sea in the calm, they quietly spoke to one another amongst themselves and questioned, "Who can this be? For he commands the wind and the water, and they obey him." Considering that reality is kind of frightful. If you have not grasped that before, the disciples were starting to grasp that this teacher they've been following is much more than just a good teacher. And perhaps it's a little scary, intimidating. They reached the other shore and they were greeted by this man in the way that we read this morning. This man was the greeting party on the shore. awaiting their arrival. But consider this, how did this man know that they were coming? Furthermore, the man says to Jesus, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beseech you, do not torment me." If we were there, hearing this man on the shore in this context after just what happened, I bet it gave the disciples a bit of a chill. Then consider the details of the story that we haven't talked about. Jesus asked the man his name, and the demonic response was legion, for it wasn't one demon, it was a number of demons that had entered him. And the demons begged Jesus not to send them to the abyss, but rather into the herd of swine. Jesus allowed it. The swine reacted and ran down into the lake and were drowned. And the herdsmen, observing everything, fled and told everything that had happened to anyone that would listen. Naturally, the curious townspeople came to see Jesus for themselves. They saw this man, whom they knew about, whom they had feared, now clothed in his right mind, sitting peacefully at the feet of Jesus. And now they were really afraid. The text says that, seized with great fear, they asked Jesus to depart from them. They feared, but they feared the wrong thing. They feared Jesus. Today, when we consider the power that Christ possessed, the authority that Christ demonstrates, it can be a fearful thing. After all, he does have power over the wind and the waves. He does have power over the herd of swine. He has power over the legions of demons. He could have commanded a legion of angels to his side in the garden as he was arrested. These things remind us the truth that the scriptures proclaim, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Likewise, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are reminded that we should fear God. But we have to consider the nature of that fear. We have to understand how that fear is exercised in our life. And we have to understand that we can fear God in the wrong way or in the right way. And we must fear God in the right way. Fearing God in the right way is a virtuous thing, but fearing God in the wrong way, it leads us astray. See, these people, the townspeople, they feared God, but in the wrong way that led to destruction. And we must understand that in our life, fear is not supposed to, the fear of God, that is not supposed to exist in a vacuum, as if that's the only experience we have of God, is fear. The right kind of fear coexists with other experiences of God, with other virtues. It coexists with faith and with love. Consider what the deacon says is each week at the liturgy when we celebrate the Eucharist, as he comes to announce to be ready for communion. He says what? He says, "With the fear of God and with faith and with love, draw near." You see, fear doesn't exist by itself. It's not, the fear of God alone is not enough to save us. It is also with faith. It has to combine with faith and with love. The authority of Christ may indeed be a fearful thing, but it's not the only thing that we should be aware of. We have to understand all that God is, all that Christ has revealed himself to be. We recognize that Christ also revealed himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the image of gentleness, sacrificial love. Christ is also the good shepherd who cares tenderly for his sheep, who goes after the lost sheep when it goes astray. Christ is also the great physician who treats us with loving care and nurture and bandages our wounds. Christ is also the bridegroom of the church who loves his bride, who lays down his life for his bride, each one of us. These things help us to understand God, the fear of God in its proper perspective, to learn what St. Anthony learned. For he said, "I no longer fear God, but love him, for perfect love casts out fear. He says this commenting on the first epistle of John, where St. John, the apostle, says this very thing, perfect love casts out fear. The townspeople feared Christ, but they feared him in the wrong way. They feared, but it wasn't a saving fear. Their fear caused them to reject Christ and to send him away from them. And we, as disciples of Christ, we must never forget that the Lord that we serve is a mighty Savior, that he has power and authority that we don't understand, that is mind-boggling. He has the power and authority over everything that we face in this life. He has power and authority. And we must always hold him in reverent fear, awestruck by his might, by his power. But that's not all. For saving fear is also connected to faith and love. Fear without hope, fear without faith is not a saving fear. Fear without love is not the right kind of fear. I would even suggest it's a demonic fear. Christ is our mighty Savior who has authority over anything that we may fear. Rather than fearing fear itself, let us fear God. But let us fear God in the right way. Not like the townspeople who rejected Christ, but let us fear God with that reverent sense of awe of his might, of his power that leads us to a greater love and worship. Let us fear God, but let us likewise have faith and hope in him. Let us fear God, but let us likewise discover, as St. Anthony discovered, that perfect love casts out fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.